Despite what Isaiah tells us at the beginning, the overwhelming unbelief that is in the world, Jesus Christ will gather a great company of people from every nation, and he will give them eternal life. And so the very obvious question is, how then, in a world of unbelief, will these people come to faith?
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us. And Colin, that is such a great picture of so many people from all over time, place, space, coming to faith in Jesus. But like we looked at last time, people have this natural inclination towards unbelief. So how do people come to faith?
Well, the wonderful statement that Isaiah makes here is he speaks about the arm of the Lord. And of course, the arm speaks about the strength by which a person gets something done. So the arm of the Lord is the means by which he gets his will done. And Isaiah asks the question, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's a wonderful truth that we're looking at today. In a world where we're often aware of many people moving away from faith and away from allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, by the power of his own arm, will get everything that he has purposed accomplished to his own praise and glory. And the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible makes that very, very plain. And Isaiah points to it wonderfully in the verse of scripture that we're going to look at today.
All right, well, let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 53, as we look at verse 1 today. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, why is it that unbelief is so offensive to God? You might find yourself saying, really? Why is unbelief that bad? Well, first, because unbelief insults God. The Apostle John writes, whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. Suppose you take a trip to Florida. When you come back, you tell your friend about the trip. I went to Florida, you say. And your friend doesn't look very impressed. Really? Where's the proof? You say, well, I'm telling you, I went to Florida. Well, I don't believe you. Now, that is deeply offensive. Your so-called friend is making you out to be a liar. He or she gives no weight whatsoever to your word. And you see, that is precisely what unbelief does to Almighty God. Unbelief hears the word of God and says, I don't believe it. I don't believe you, God. And that is deeply offensive to God. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. And then unbelief is really offensive to God because it not only insults him personally, but it defies his commandment. Again, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Now, do you see this? God commands us to believe in his Son. This is his commandment. And unbelief refuses what God commands. And then unbelief is really offensive to God because it refuses to do the very work that God calls us to do. John chapter 6, Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. You see, God says to us in the scriptures, now I have sent my Son into the world. He will accomplish everything that is needed for your salvation. What I call on you to do is believe in him. And unbelief refuses to do the first thing that God asks of us. So I want you to see clearly today, unbelief is a sin that will keep millions out of heaven. It insults God. It breaks his commandment. It refuses to do what he calls us to do. Unbelief is deeply offensive to God. It will keep more people out of heaven than murder or adultery will. Unbelief is normal. It is sinful. And then you need to know that unbelief is ultimately futile. Unbelief doesn't change anything. If you put the beginning and the end of Isaiah chapter 53 together, you will get the thrust of the whole chapter. It begins with Isaiah recognizing people don't believe this. And it ends by telling us what people don't believe, that Jesus Christ will triumph, that he will be satisfied, that the will of God will prosper in his hand. Christ will share the spoils of his triumph with all of his people, and no amount of unbelief will ever be able to stop him. So here's what you need to know about unbelief. It's normal. It's sinful. And it is futile. Now let's turn secondly to what we need to know about faith. And I want you to look at the second part of this remarkable verse. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, you see the flow of this chapter. Despite what Isaiah tells us at the beginning, the overwhelming unbelief that is in the world, despite that, Jesus Christ will gather a great company of people from every nation, and he will give them eternal life. And so the very obvious question is, how then, in a world of unbelief, will these people come to faith? And the answer to that question is in the second part of this verse, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The first thing that you need to know about faith is that faith is formed by the arm of the Lord. Now, we know from Scripture that God is spirit. He has no arms or legs or hands or feet. But remember that in the Bible, God speaks to us in language that we can understand. Thank God for that. We would not be able to understand anything about him at all if he did not do this. And the arm, of course, speaks about strength. And the arm of the Lord, therefore, speaks about the strength by which God gets his work done. So, for example, when God's people were slaves in Egypt, God said to Moses, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm." The arm of the Lord is the power by which God gets his work done. And here Isaiah speaks about the arm of the Lord being revealed. When people believe, it is because the Holy Spirit opens their minds and their hearts to see that there really is a God and that he is very, very great indeed. And that is what happened when Paul preached the gospel in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "Our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." You see, the arm of the Lord was revealed in his preaching of the gospel. And the result was that these people, they turned from idols. They served the living and true God as they waited for his Son to be revealed from heaven. Faith is formed when the arm of the Lord is revealed. That's what Isaiah is saying here.
And what that means is that faith is a miraculous gift of God's grace. Now, here we come to something very wonderful indeed. If you are a believer, a miracle of God's grace has taken place in you. The arm of the Lord has been revealed to you. That's what's happened in your experience. God has opened your eyes. He has changed your heart. He has brought you from death to life. He has brought you from darkness to light. Now, perhaps you were brought up in a Christian home. And you say, well, really, my story is very simple. You know, I just received this. And I never really rebelled against it. Well, now, don't say just. Because what has happened to you, simple though it may have been, is a miracle of God's grace. If God had allowed what was in you by nature to take its course, you would have walked away from the faith of your parents long ago. Thousands have done that. Why not you? Well, you see, the arm of the Lord was revealed to you. You came to realize in your own soul there really is a God. And he is very, very great. You saw that this God truly loves you. That he gave himself for you in Jesus Christ. The unbelieving heart that was in you by nature was changed. And God formed faith in you and you believed. Now, God may have done this so quietly early in your life that you hardly even noticed. But make no mistake, if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a miracle of grace has taken place in you. The arm of the Lord has been revealed to you. Writing to Christian believers, Pastor Charles Simeon says this, "To you then I say that God has conferred upon you the greatest gift that you could possess in this world." Do you see that? If you believe, God has conferred upon you the greatest gift that you could ever possess in this world.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Our Unbelief. And in just a moment, we're going to get back to this message and take a look at what you need to know about coming to faith. If you ever miss a broadcast in our series, The Gospel According to Isaiah, come to our website and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can also listen on the go if you have the Open the Bible app. You'll find the app for free at your app store. Or again, come and listen online, where you can stream the broadcast or download an MP3 for free. Our website is openthebible.org. Back to Isaiah 53. Here is Pastor Colin.
By faith, your sins are forgiven. By faith, your sanctification is already begun. By faith, your eternal and glorious future is absolutely secure. With this gift, you are blessed beyond measure, whatever you face in this world. Now, perhaps at this point you're thinking, well, that's great for those who believe, but what about everyone else? And here then, I want to look at this marvelous truth from a third angle. We've looked at what we need to know about unbelief. We've looked at what we need to know about faith. And I want us briefly now to look at what you need to know then about coming to faith. How's that then going to happen? And here I'd like to remind you of the marvelous statement in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, where the Apostle Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." And I want you to try and take that in together today. You see, it would be easy to get the idea that salvation is, well, like buying a car. You know, a trader has cars to sell. You have money to buy. You bring the money and there is an exchange in which the trader gets the money and you get the car. And in order to buy the car, you have to have the money. No money, no car. Now, you see, some people have the idea that that is how salvation works. That God offers forgiveness and everlasting life, and that faith somehow is the coin with which you purchase God's salvation. You bring your faith, and salvation will be yours. But thank God that is not the message of the Bible. And I hope that's clear to you from this verse this morning. Where would that leave the person who struggles to believe? I mean, let me speak directly right now to the person in the congregation who says, I find it very difficult to believe. If you knew what I have endured, if you really understood what is on me right now, you would understand why I can't believe. Believing is something I cannot do. Now, do you see, what you are experiencing is exactly what is described here in Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? I know that some people speak as if believing was easy. Oh, they say, just believe. But the person who says that really hasn't understood that the human heart is wired for unbelief. Faith is far from easy. And if the command of God was that we had to somehow find faith within ourselves and then bring it to him as the coin with which we purchase his salvation, then our situation would be completely and utterly hopeless. You don't have the coin with which to pay. If you feel that you do not have it in you to believe, I have to say to you today, you're right. You don't have it in you. But the good news is that God is able to give you what you do not have. And that's what is in this marvelous verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Do you see that the faith by which we receive God's marvelous gift of salvation is not some capacity that resides in us? None of us has that. By nature, our hearts are wired for unbelief. Here's the good news. Faith is the gift of God. And that's why there is hope today for every person who struggles to believe. You say that you can't believe. And I'm saying to you from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, that God's arm is stronger than your unbelief. God's Spirit can overcome the power of unbelief in you. You know, our Lord Jesus, on one occasion, said how hard it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say it's easy. He said how hard it is. It is easier, Jesus said, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. That's how hard it is. And when Jesus said this, the Bible records that the disciples were absolutely astonished and they asked the obvious question, well, then who can be saved? How could anyone be saved if it's that hard? And Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. God saves. And the first thing he will save you from is the power of your own sinful unbelief. So if you find it hard to believe, here's what I want to encourage you to do today. Draw near to God and tell him what you know to be true. I don't have it in me to believe. And then ask God to save you from the power of your own sinful unbelief. And God will hear you. And God will answer you. And by his strong arm, he will save you. The arm of the Lord is revealed in and through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what we're looking at right here in Isaiah chapter 53. And as you look to Jesus to give you what you do not have, God's arm will form faith in you. Now, that's what happened for the chancellor as Isaiah chapter 53 was explained to him sitting in a chariot riding through the desert. Faith was formed in him as he read Isaiah 53. And my prayer for us today and for these weeks that lie ahead of us is that what happened for him will happen for you.
That is certainly the prayer of all of us here at Open the Bible. You're listening to a message called Our Unbelief, the first message in our series called The Gospel According to Isaiah, where we're taking a look at Isaiah chapter 53. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or listen on demand. You can also listen to the entire series on CD. Ask about how you can get a copy when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's your generosity that allows us to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching on the radio, to make the website, the app, and other resources available. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy of Nancy Guthrie's book, I'm Praying for You, 40 Days of Praying the Bible for Someone Who's Suffering. And Colin, what's the one thing that you hope people who read this book will take away from it?
Well, the thing that I've gained from this book is that it is a way of staying fresh in praying for people that we want to intercede for over a long period of time. And I think every Christian has friends, loved ones for whom we're committed to pray over the long haul. And the question, of course, is always, how do I stay fresh in praying for the same person day after day after day? Well, what Nancy Guthrie has done wonderfully is she's brought together from Scripture 40 different ways of praying for someone you love, someone in need, someone who's suffering. You can use one of these every day and you can reuse them many times. So it's in 40 very simple sections. I mean, for example, I'm praying that the Lord will keep you. And another one, I'm praying that you will not fear bad news. I'm praying that God will make you fruitful. I'm praying that you'll grasp how deeply you are loved by God. I'm praying that you'll cast your anxieties on God. I'm praying that you'll learn the secret of being content. So here are 40 distinct ways to pray for someone you love. It's a marvelous resource. I've never seen anything quite like it, but it will inject freshness into your prayer life. And I think it'll be a great blessing and a help to many.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or over the phone when you call 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 1-877-OPEN-365, or again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin. And I love the story of the thief on the cross because it's the best story we have to help people understand grace. You know, many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life either. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can everyone you know and will ever meet. Heaven, How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. We've seen God use this film to help many trust in Jesus as the thief did. So who is there in your life who needs to understand grace? For more information or to watch this film for free, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.